Grab your torch and dip it into the sexy St. Jeff candle for one more time, because No Buffs is back. I'm J.E. Skeets, here in the Classic Factory, along with my fellow Tri members, the carrot cakes to my chocolate cake, Trey Kirby and J.D.
Where are you going? Chocolate or carrot?
I like both, but I'm chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really popped for carrot cake, though.
It was like an afterthought. It was just like, all this. Oh, yeah. By the way, there's also carrot
we
cake.
We got a cake.
Yeah!
Anybody wants it.
It's like, what are you don't even know what you're cheering for. Like, with a carrot cake, there are so many different varieties.
There's yeah.
Raisins and some, walnuts and others, raisins and walnuts, or nothing.
Yeah.
You got a cream cheese icing or some other vegan delight? I don't know. I don't know. Give me the chocolate.
Yeah. Safer.
I don't know. I think the ceiling of a carrot cake is higher. Mm. I would personally go chocolate cake, yellow frosting, number one cake.
Okay.
But that wasn't on offer.
Right.
But I'm going carrot cake over pure chocolate, personally.
Wow.
Well, we are
more
here.
For me.
We are here to not only talk about cake, but to recap the final episode of Survivor 44.
Survivor 44.
Titled Absolute Banger Season.
Ugh.
What a name for that final episode.
Accurate.
Who said it?
Matt.
Banger season? Oh, I guess we know what was going on at Ponderosa. Shout out to the live tribe joining us here on YouTube. Of course, to all our podcast listeners, we see you as well. You hear us, but we see you. Leave us a 5-star rating and review here at No Buffs. Helps us out, and hopefully will make us continue to do these as we get to Survivor 45 in the fall. But we are here.
I'm in LeBron mode right now, to be honest.
You're retiring?
No, I'm just throwing it out there that I might.
Oh, wow. Wow. Like LeBron, I didn't even ask you. You just said it. All right.
Yeah, I was going to wait to the end of the show, like LeBron, the end of the press conference, but... But it's like you said, you know, you're at the end of a marathon. My nipples are basically gone. Like, anyways.
You just watched 3 hours of a finale, too.
Yep.
There is that.
Yep.
But yes, congratulations are in store for our Survivor 44 winner, Jam Jam. First Puerto Rican to win. First LGBTQ+ player to win in 15 years. Most confessionals in the new era for Jam Jam. Most votes against a winner in the new era for Jam Jam. First new era winner to not have an idol or an advantage, Jam Jam. Shout out to Mike Bloom for all those facts. But he gets 7 of the 8 votes from the jury. Heidi getting 1, Carolyn getting 0. That shocked a lot of people.
Yep.
But are you happy with our winner here for Survivor 44?
Yeah, you know I'm happy. Yeah. I was rooting for him. I mean, basically since day one, I love the guy. I just watched his exit interview with Dalton Ross, and goddamn, what a delight that guy is. He, like, stuck his tongue out, like, 8 times. Did you watch it?
I just read it.
You gotta watch it. He's amazing. He's great. You can totally see, he's one of the most charming castaways I think we've ever had on the show.
Yes.
I don't think that's hyperbole.
No, I don't think
mean,
so.
And that's saying a lot considering he was next to one of the other most charming, quirky contestants we've ever had. And yeah, all the accolades that you just said. And shout out to Heidi, also Puerto Rican. So 2 Puerto Ricans in the final 2. That's cool. Puerto Rico. American territory, yeah?
So
what does that mean? You can't vote, right?
Ask the Americans.
Yeah, right? We're Canadian.
We got no clue.
Like,
not a state.
It's not a state.
It's not a state.
It's a territory.
That's been a debate. Should it be the 51st state? It isn't yet, but a territory, yes.
So, but not citizens?
I don't know.
Freedom of movement? I don't know. We should have looked this up.
Allowed to be on Survivor, that's for sure.
And win it.
Yes.
Right. Well, Canadians are as well, but I'm just wondering. Hey, wondering.
Fair enough. We can look it up later in the show. But what'd you think of Jam Jam's big win there? Were you shocked at all by the dominant 7 of the 8 votes?
I'm surprised that Heidi got a vote and Carolyn didn't. I think Jam Jam, a deserving winner, the rightful winner, the best winner we've had in the 40s so far, and one of the coolest guys to be on the show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where he cuts hair, but I would get my hair cut by that guy. 100%. Oh, yeah. Not to mention he looks friggin' sweet out there. He got super skinny and looks awesome in purple, so apparently it was working out perfect for him. But Jam Jam, like, he lit up the screen every time he was on the screen, and you could see that kind of translated as well out on the island, how much the jury was loving him, how much everybody else talking, everybody listening to him talk was just cracking up every time he had something to say. So, I thought it was a surprise that it was such a blowout again, but that's how it's been going lately.
At the final tribal council, when they're talking to the jury, they're making their cases, it basically went like this. Heidi highlighting her risk-taking late in the game and how she used other players for shields. Definitely worked to get Danny's vote, mm-hmm. You know, building up his ego.
Yep.
Carolyn discussing her physical and mental sort of struggles on the island, using her emotions, though, as a strength more than a weakness. And then Jam Jam taking the strategic route, the credit for you voted for me, your ass went home, and then also highlighting his incredible social game.
Yeah.
Which he, I agree with you, JD, easily on the Mount Rushmore of greatest social players I think we've ever had. Any era. The guy is just so charismatic. He's walking away from one of the tribal councils previously and says, "Tomorrow we party." And everybody like just bursts out
They're
laughing.
Like, yeah, we do.
They're like, hell yeah, we do.
They love him.
So, he was like negging Brandon and Kane to their face.
Yeah.
And they were laughing about it. They're like, I am blank emotionally. This guy gets it.
Yeah. He had a really good final tribal council. I liked when he singled out individually people. You said, like, Brandon Kane, he slipped in a Jamie, like, this idea of, like, the whole looking for a twinkle in your eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would bond with you, find out what made you really light up, family, whatever in the game, whatever.
My job, whatever, yeah.
Notice it. File it away, and then when talking to you, could get a better idea of whether or not you're lying. And that was his superpower, just being able to read people.
Yeah, it was amazing speech, an amazing way that he laid it out, knowing how worried he was going into the final tribal council, English as his second language. I think he even says, I don't know if I can pull this off in English. I mean, he said that afterwards. But anyways,
yeah.
It was definitely a concern for him, but I just thought it was so beautifully laid out and a great way to answer. I think that was in answer to Franny's emotions question. You know, how do you use your emotions? And basically, he said, "I used your emotions against you."
Yeah, mm-hmm. I used everyone.
Yeah, and it was, and like, you wow. And you loved me for it.
Yeah,
and like you said, you know, I thought, this guy's got balls, like saying, "Oh, I've talked to some of you, and it was just blank nothing." It's like, God damn. But then Jamie's like, "Uh-huh, that's right."
I also appreciated Heidi and Jam Jam sort of going at each other a little bit in the final tribal council. I like when the gloves come off. And
totally.
I thought they were like sort of questioning each other's answers at times, or like sort of like trying to like, well, hold on, really. Like everybody was still politeful and all that.
Yeah.
But there was a little bit of, really? Well, yeah. I thought this instead of that.
Yeah.
So I always liked when I saw that. Carolyn, I don't know if she was edited out a lot of it. It felt like she didn't really bring it in the final tribal council.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't a lot.
No, I did like her speech about her addiction and you know, how that, but those, how she, her herself was the biggest obstacle coming into the game.
Yeah.
And then letting go of that. And, you know, it's a very, very heartwarming story. And, you know, I loved every second of her on screen. But yeah, I think she went into that thing extremely nervous, and a lot got cut out, I think, because of that, or she just didn't bring it, or didn't say anything that interesting. But you're right; it did seem to be between Jam Jam and Heidi the whole time.
What do you think of both of their cases at Tribal Council at the end?
Well, I thought Jam Jam was clearly the best one. He had the better answer for playing emotionally, which was kind of the death knell for Carolyn's game when he gave a better answer to that. Her best jury answer was at Final Six, before the jury was actually there as the jury. She said in some of her post-game press that the jury got to her head, like, watching them watch her and see what the responses were, whereas Jam Jam's just, like, letting it fly, knowing that everything is landing. She's worried how everything is landing, which maybe kind of blunted the message that she was trying to get past. But Jam Jam also made the biggest and best move of the game, getting out Franny.
Yeah.
And that was a vote that Carolyn was left out of, so he takes the strategy portion of it as well, especially since Carson's sitting there on the jury.
Exactly.
Let's talk about Heidi's fire-making decision. Obviously winning that final four immunity challenge, Samotion. She pulls it out, so she gets to decide, you know, who's going to be in fire, who's going to the end. She makes everyone practice fire. Shouts to Jam Jam for practicing on an elevated surface. Mm-hmm. I've brought that up before. He was sort of doing it on that rock. We had a fire pissing contest between Carolyn and Jam Jam, which was one of the fire moments from the finale. And we get the Jam Jam teaching Carson how to make fire. He's trying to help him. But yeah, in the end, she decides my best chance to maybe win this whole thing is to put myself in it, take out Carson, go to the final three, and puts Carolyn and Jam Jam through. Now, it obviously doesn't work out for her. She got one vote. But she made the fastest fire ever.
Yeah.
She kicked his ass.
Totally.
I thought it was pretty badass when she was like, I'm sorry, Carson. Hugging him before they had even done the fire makeup. She's saying, I'm sorry, I'm going to destroy you here.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But in the end, it didn't matter. But was she in a tough spot because it was either going to be Carson there or Jam Jam there?
She had to do it, I think. Like, that was, you know, and, you know, we can debate as to whether or not that's how it should be in terms of, she fair and square earned her way into the final three, but because she felt, well, she obviously felt that she didn't play enough or have enough on her resume to win the game, so she had to take herself out and make fire, which she was very confident in from day one, remember?
Yeah, TK called it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was great storytelling, all the foreshadowing, like in multiple episodes leading up to this showdown between Heidi and Carson in fire making. And, you know, shout out to Carson. He went in scared shitless and not very good at it. And with, I think, Jam Jam's help, he actually did pretty well. I mean, I think he might have beaten other players, but, you know, you can't. I mean, that's the fastest ever. I mean, three minutes and 8 seconds or whatever it was. Amazing. Crazy.
Right. But you think she made the right call.
I think she made...
But she was in a tough spot because...
I'm going to put it like this. She made the call she had to make. She knew that as soon as she won immunity because she told Jeff right then and there. I mean, I was listening to Tyson this morning. And he's like, you said you were doing it. There's no going back on it.
Totally.
As soon as you say that, it's like, well, I'm considering putting myself in. And then what are you going to do? Like, a day later, be like, you know what? I've observed every one of you on the beach as I asked you to. And you know what? I think I'm good. I'm going to stay. You know, like, it's just sort of, it's dumb. You can't go back on that when you say it to Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I guess, though, if he puts Jam Jam in it or Carolyn in it, she does, excuse me, and Heidi beats either of them, and I think she would have. Mm-hmm. She was amazing at it. The best ever we've seen. Is there any path for her to get enough votes in the end? If she's sitting beside Carson, does she win? If she's sitting, you know, Jam Jam's not there or whatever, if Carolyn's not there or no?
Yeah, I think the path would have been to put somebody good at fire. She knowingly put Carson, who was not good at fire. She put the weakest person in fire.
But also the biggest threat in the game.
Yeah.
Well, was he? Because
I think Carson would have won if he made it.
Right. Okay. So you are agreeing that she probably couldn't have done anything. Heidi.
She was in fourth place going into the final four, pretty clearly, I think.
Yeah.
And the question to – there's no real issue with her putting herself into it. She had to if she had any chance to win the game. She went from fourth to second, so upgrade there. The question for me would be if any of the other three would have been in her position, would they have gone into fire? Because then I think it is a question because, I think any of the other three, the Tikas, they could have all won the game depending on what the final three ended up being. But if Jam Jam wins it, does he say, I need that to push me over Carson? I need that to push me over Carolyn? He didn't need that. But it could have gone the other way. I think it's a more interesting question for those three because Heidi had to do it.
Yeah, but we'll never know. And it was beautiful for the Tika 3 because none of them got blood on each other's hands for, nobody had to betray anybody.
It was great for Jam Jam.
Yeah.
He got to tutor Carson and come off as a great guy.
Yeah.
And that seemed like a very genuine moment to me where Carson is breaking down, like, I'm an Eagle Scout and I can't make fire.
Yeah.
In the biggest thing when I've practiced every single thing. And he was there for him at, like, I was watching with my kids and they're like, he's like being Carson's dad right now. He was reaching around him, showing him how to make a fire, coaching him through it as it's happening. And then that guy has to go and vote for who's going to get $1 million.
Yeah.
Look where his vote went.
Yeah.
Not to his mom.
Nope.
Yeah. a little shocking that, yeah, Carson's vote doesn't go to Carolyn, that Franny's vote didn't go to Carolyn. Mm-hmm. You know, like we said, Danny, the only one voting for Heidi, and everybody else saying, yeah, Jam Jam, a well-deserving winner. Other things from this one? Lauren going out, obviously, at 5.
Yeah.
We had the whole, did she find the idol or not? They played that up.
They played it up. I mean, I was fine with the playing up of it.
Yeah.
I thought, actually, that tribal would have been a little bit more explosive. I thought that Lauren kind of was playing a decent bluff game going in. Do you know what I mean? Like, she was sort of, there was tension. There was uncertainty. Everybody was looking at each other. This was the most paranoid I've seen this season of tribal councils. But then it just kind of falls apart. And I think it was Jam Jam that made it fall apart by himself allowing himself to become vulnerable and go and say basically something like, this is hurting me. I'm taking this very, very personally.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lauren, she just melts, turned into a puddle. And then we're like, okay, she does not have an idol, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, I was not tricked for 1 second when she did the fake out.
No,
at the end. I mean,
no.
You know, it was clearly.
But you're saying going into that tribal council, I thought the edit was doing a pretty damn good job,
yeah,
of like convincing us, besides Carson, who is safe, that all four of these people could go home.
Totally.
And who does not have
yeah,
this last idol.
And yeah, I think that maybe if, you know, it's so hard to say because it's day 25 or whatever day it is, and you're at your limit, you know, mm-hmm, to keep your shit together and just, but the play to be like to cast doubt and say, hey, maybe she does have an idol, so let's just vote for Heidi, or you know what I mean, like let's do the safe thing because she might have an idol. And I thought that she was doing a good job of maybe making them think that there was uncertainty. But then as soon as she falls apart, then it's over. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
So, but shout out to Lauren. I, you know.
Yeah.
I thought she was convincing enough that she was fooling the people that were going to vote,
yeah,
with her. Like, Carolyn was like, I thought we talked a lot. Wait,
yeah,
a second. Yeah. We had a lot of conversations.
That's a whole thing. Like, that,
yeah,
whole, that whole thing is like, well, nobody talked to me. And I'm like, well, we all, the audience,
yeah,
just watched them talk to you. Like,
mm-hmm.
And then I went back and I was like, what, did she have a point? Like, were they talking about who they were? I mean, you never know. It's an edit, right? But
yeah,
you definitely see them discussing. Carolyn literally says to Lauren on the beach, what do you think?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what do you think's going,
yeah,
on?
Yeah, we had the three ladies were discussing the idea of voting out Jam Jam.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Lauren was taking to Carolyn. And then Carolyn in confessional says, maybe I will vote for Jam Jam. Because Lauren was making a slick move. She was like, he was throwing around your name at,
yeah,
the last tribal council. I was like, oh, they might have something here. Maybe the three of them vote for Jam Jam.
Totally. Cast a bit of doubt. Make them think that I have an idol.
Right.
And then that's your best play. And then she almost got there. It felt like, anyways. But
yeah,
who knows? Who,
yeah,
knows?
It's just like,
I mean, in hindsight, Carolyn should have went that way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
Jam Jam won convincingly. That would have been the move there to split,
yeah,
up those two. Like, I think Carson or Jam Jam was going to win if they were in the final tribal council. They were Dom and Wendell. They dominated.
Mm-hmm.
They were not given Carolyn the credit for, I think, her playing the emotional game and throwing people off her strategy. Maybe it worked a little bit too well because they didn't really give much respect to her strategy. But getting out her number one at that moment would have been huge.
Yeah, you're probably right. Carolyn, Heidi, and Lauren in that vote. They vote for Jam Jam. He goes home.
Right.
They pray that Heidi beats Carson in some ocean. Mm-hmm. And then
or fire.
Carson goes out in fire. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's the three women at the end. And that's Carolyn's best chance probably to pull out the victory.
Agree.
Especially with two Tika on the jury, which she even said to their face, we need some Tika on the jury. I'll be like, what? Damn, well, it ain't going to be me. What are you talking about? It was Carson, obviously, in the end, not being able to make the fire. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, you were about to say something.
No, it's just, I'm confused about this, the emotional game. You know what I mean? Like, I understand Carolyn played a very emotional game. So did Jam Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi, not so much. She kept her emotions to herself. But
yeah,
I wouldn't say she wasn't emotional.
Well, everybody cried.
Everybody cried.
Hands,
right?
All raised their hands.
Yep.
But, so the emotional game is that I'm going to put my emotions on my sleeve the entire time. And that's going to throw you off the fact that I'm actually a strategic player. Is that what we're talking about here?
I think so. Yeah, I think that was a good explanation of how they're at least presenting it.
Yeah.
Within the context of the game.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas someone like Heidi, and a lot of people don't.
Right.
Everybody is emotional, I'm sure, at times out there and broken down and all that. But, yeah. Caroline just can't. She just has to. It's her, right?
Right.
She was like falling on the ground when people were telling her different voting plans.
Yes. Totally. Yeah. Yes. Totally. It's just odd to me. It was just this focus on it, you know, like Franny being like, "Oh, Caroline, tell me about how emotional you are and when you play." And she's like, "Well, I might get emotional." And she's like, "Good." And it sits on the edge of her seat like a. Just like an emotion fetishist, you know, like, like, okay, it's fine. I got no problem with people showing their emotions, but it seems like it hurt Heidi because she's keeping her shit together. And I don't think that Heidi is any less emotional than Caroline.
Right.
Right. Anyways, just throwing it out there.
Sure.
And I'm not taking anything away from Caroline. She's a strategic player. She knows what's going on. She's like Taskmaster, emotions on her sleeve the whole time. And that's not a bad thing.
I've never thought of that comparison. Task to Caroline. You have any thoughts on all of that or anything else from this episode?
One thing that stuck out to me was I thought it was funny that they hid the immunity idol that none of them found in the trees.
Right.
Like in the branches. And I think that's why none of them found it, because every time they were walking by, they're just looking at the ground.
Yeah.
Every idol for like seasons has been stuck in roots. They just hid it in the tree.
Yeah.
Nobody even looked. That was funny to me. I would say also that it could be considered an emotional game, the way Jam Jam played. Everybody who voted for him, they were the next person to vote out.
I criticized him for that.
That's the way to play.
You
got to have both, right? You got to have the emotion and the strategy. And obviously Jam Jam hit the Venn diagram harder than Caroline did.
Yeah, I guess the emotional game traditionally has always been frowned upon because... he's making an emotional decision.
Erratic.
Here. He's being irrational here. This is not a good move. And I actually criticized Gabler last season for that as well when he got rid of Ellie, was it? Because he thought that she searched through his bags. It was like, vengeance. And then he went on to win the game. Yep. So maybe, you know, maybe I think you're right. I mean, I think if you play... You have to take people out of the game, and if you're doing it because of emotions, that's fine.
Well, it's not a bad strategy to vote people out of the game that were voting for you or going through your bag and targeting you.
Exactly.
What do you think about the opening of this episode? Propes walking on the beach with the tiki torches, I guess, behind them there.
I loved it. I love, you know, they've been very judicious with the talking to the camera.
Yep.
He now does it by proxy. How many times was he trying to solicit people to come and join the cast? You know, there's the actual promo, but at Tribal Council, he's like, he's yelling at the contestants. People have to apply. Are they having problems getting people to apply? I mean, come on.
They really, in this episode, he's hard, doing it a million times. To the point where you're right, he's yelling at in the after show.
Yeah.
Tell your friends to apply. He's telling the people that have been on the show.
We did, Jeff. We applied.
Yeah.
I like the shot. I like the torches on the beach.
It was good. I liked the intro to this finale because sometimes we've had the big where Probst is doing the VO for all the contestants and why they're here and why they can win. They just had Probst at the table, and then within the idol searching of the island is when they were like, each person was telling us in confessional of why I think I could win this game or why I'm here, like the final five.
Right.
I liked how they did that.
Yeah,
and then that was really slick at it.
And that's when we hear from the jury as well, right?
Saying, yes, and they're sprinkling in that.
It was really good.
It was good. Also a cool editing sort of callback, I guess, really full circle moment with Caroline and the producer.
Yeah.
talking to her there in the finale, and that was how we started.
Yeah.
Survivor 44. That
was
the first shot, was it not?
I think so.
Right? Where she's sitting down and like, how does this work? And what do we do here? That was pretty cool. The only other question I have random note-wise is, do you prefer breakfast in bed or breakfast on the beach?
Mm.
If you had to pick one or the other, someone to bring a tray to you in bed or on the beach?
Beach.
Same here. I don't want to eat in bed. That's a rule at our house.
Yeah,
I'm not allowed to have like a late night snack even while we were watching. Nothing.
What about a drink? What about a glass?
Drink I'm allowed to have.
A red wine?
I'm allowed to have a drink on the bedside table while we're watching television in the bedroom, but no snacks ever.
I think the tough thing with breakfast in bed is that, you know, theoretically it happens as soon as you wake up. How often is it like you've been awake for 30 seconds, you're like, I'm ready for a full meal.
Never.
Never.
Right now.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys?
I mean, we'll get to the reunion show. I will say this, though.
Reunion, please. Call it an after show.
After show, whatever the hell. I will say this. When we're watching basketball or any sporting event, if I'm watching Harlan, you know, call it the game-winning shot, or there's something massive happens. I've seen it in baseball games, too. Mm-hmm. It's like they've just won the championship. They know to shut the fuck up. Just shut up. You know what
right.
I mean?
Let the moment speak
Let
for itself.
Let the moment speak for itself.
Okay.
Jam Jam, he gets crowned.
Yep.
Jeff, right away. That's incredible, blah, blah, blah. Jam Jam has just won the blah, blah, blah. Come back. And I know he has to tease to the break or whatever, or like come back or, and all that, but stepping all over it. Like, shoot some confetti. Let them have their moment. Music comes up.
Sure.
Tears. Nothing. We don't need you, Jeff.
Right.
We love you, Jeff, but we don't need you in that moment. Take a break. Let it speak for itself.
Let it breathe.
You can literally just fade to commercial.
Yeah.
We're coming back.
People know we're coming back.
We are coming back.
I agree.
We're not
with that.
Going anywhere.
He wants to get right up in the camera. He wants to grab a slice of pizza. He wants to get the champagne going. People are bringing in the props, the flags and stuff.
It's just, you know, we can see it all happening. Okay. He doesn't have to say, we got champagne coming in. We see the guys with champagne. Oh, we got pizza over here, too. Well, we're going to give Jam Jam $1 million. Yeah, we know. We've been watching for 13 episodes. Sure. We got it. We got it.
Just let it breathe.
Let it breathe.
That's a great note. It's a great note. You got anything left there, TK?
Yeah.
We are going to get to Tree Mail.
Speaking of my good friend Jeff, which of his catchphrases do you think is going to catch on?
Okay, here we go.
Full Tilt Boogie, which he hit. Basically, as soon as the season was over, maybe in this post-game
that
spiel.
That one's gone.
Or The Sanctuary, where good things happen.
I think that one is we're going to hear again next year.
I feel like they made Carson say it.
They did.
In one of his confessionals.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to The Sanctuary, where good things happen.
Next year, they're going to launch a chain of Chili's-style restaurants. Survivor themed.
Called The Sanctuary.
The Survivor Sanctuary. Where good things happen.
Jeez.
That's my bold prediction.
Okay, that's you're saying they're going to launch real restaurants, chains.
Real restaurants.
Not on Survivor that The Sanctuary will be renamed.
There's
like
going to be one
Sanctuary.
Right over there on Claremont Road or whatever.
Okay, well, we're going if they build it. Oh, God, he's knocking probes over.
Down goes Jeff. I also did like Danny celebrating with the Sherlin champagne, shaking it like it was an NBA championship. That was a nice touch, I thought.
Yeah,
he was pumped. But that was at the end of the after show. Yeah.
Let's get that happening right away. PAs spraying Sherlin everywhere.
Yeah, it is a little flat. Yeah. You're right. It's like, okay. But this is the difference than obviously the real reunion show, the way they used to do it, where they're coming back. We get in front of a live audience. That was more of like, oh, your family's here. It was a bit more of like, a real celebration. You're just like, I'm just out here with these people I've been out with here for, you know, 4 weeks now. Probst is there. It's like, I'm tired of shit. All right, it's over. Great.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, let's take our first break. And when we come back, we'll get into Tree Mail with some big picture questions about this season, where it ranks in terms of the new era, and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back here on No Buffs, recapping episode 13, Survivor 44 finale. Once again, congratulations to Jam Jam, the sole survivor. But we got some questions in Tree Mail. Let's do it. Yeah, first question from Doug. Dougie
G. What up, Doug?
Jam Jam was phenomenal in Final Tribal. Do you think he had the blowout locked down heading into Tribal? Or do you think he swayed any jurors his way because of his performance? They said everybody's vote was up for grabs. That's what they told us, right?
That's what they told
us. Whether you can believe them or not, I don't know. But what do you think?
I think he did sway some people.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, Franny said as much in the after show. I think he was very eloquent. I think he surprised some people that he revealed his superpower, the actual origin of his superpower, which was, you know, being able to tell when you lie to me. Mm-hmm. And he just told us exactly how he did it. I think that would have swayed me. It would be like, God damn.
Damn.
Yep.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you buy it that he got at least a couple people?
I think at least some of them were going in. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. There's definitely, you know, who knows how much. But, you know, you see shots of people hesitating. Who am I going to vote for? Who am I doing here? Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Carson being the ultimate stage mom? Like trying to give notes, it felt like, to Carolyn. And even at times, Jam Jam. He was really doing a lot over there on the jury.
He was rooting hard for both of them, and I see that at every play I go to now.
Do you buy what Doug's saying here, or the question? Do you think he swayed a bunch of people?
I think he would have at least swayed Franny. I'm with you on that one, because she seemed like a Carolyn vote heading into it.
Yeah.
Danny, to me, was a vote who was swayed by whoever was going to give Danny the most credit going into Tribal Council. It ended up being Heidi. They were close, so Heidi got Danny's vote. But then I kind of do think that Jam Jam was known as the leader of the Tika, probably Carson, number two. I mean, a few of us picked Jam Jam to win heading into last week's episode, or into last night's episode. So it was sort of the writing on the wall there. And I don't know, he did quarterback, you know, kind of the biggest move of the season. So not a surprise to me that he won, but a surprise that it was such a blowout, definitely.
Yeah, we can get so caught up in how many individual immunity necklaces did you win and how great you were, you know, in strategic moves and all that. And at the end of the day, a lot of the time, it's like, who's just the most well-liked?
Right.
Who do I like more? Who do I just want to give $1 million to? Because they're just like a great person.
Yep.
And that's why we were like last couple of weeks, we're like, if Jam Jam's there, he's winning this thing.
Yeah.
I would have been fascinated to see him and Carson
go sitting there
against maybe Carolyn or even Heidi or something like that. That maybe is a little closer. But yeah, he's just like, that's his superpower. And he's just charming as shit.
Oh my God.
Like you guys said earlier, he like can almost like make fun of you to your face. And you're like, God damn, that guy.
He gets me, man.
Got me.
Yep.
So yeah, he killed it. Some after show notes here. What do you think about Jamie finding out her idol was fake? Was that the best part of the after show?
No, 100%.
Yeah.
And I actually found it to be an acceptable payoff to what I was hoping for, which was for her to realize, oh my God, this is not real. And her reaction was priceless. It was perfect. Like, mm-hmm. she just could not believe it. And in fact,
everybody
was
totally
shocked.
Because the guy who planted it obviously fell off a rock and was gone.
Yeah.
Never backed out.
Yeah. And it was just like, that dirty devil, you know, like Matthew. And they just, like, it had to be explained to them. They couldn't even wrap their heads around it. And that was just great. I loved that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they wouldn't have been able to do that with a reunion show where she has a chance to watch every episode. She's like, oh, it was fake. You got me. Yeah, ha, ha. And then she'll probably lie about it. Yeah, I knew the whole thing. So this was great how it played out, especially because they're like, wow, why did that happen? Also, why did he do that? You know, they're together. Like, what was the point there?
Yeah.
What a great twist. I don't know if this was considered a twist, but it was an awesome moment.
What else happened in the after show? Jam Jam and Carolyn, a little sitcom pitch
from
Jam Jam. I thought it was pretty good. He's put on the spot there from Props. Not bad. And then the showmance between Matt and Franny. That was explained. I thought Jam Jam was super pumped about it. He was into it.
And Carolyn, I don't think she was into it.
Not as much. I mean, she did just lose the game.
Yeah, that's true. But that is true.
And Jam Jam's like, a lot more pumped up. He just won $1 million. Oh, you're in love? Great.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, she was like, oh, yeah, that's nice. It's really, really nice. I'm really happy for you.
You don't think...
But I feel like her face betrayed her a little bit. Mm. Well, I could be wrong. But yeah, you're right. She just lost $1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like champagne flowing everywhere. She's been sober for 13 years. Like,
oh, yeah, good point.
Maybe, yeah. He was just like, God damn. Could really use a glass of champagne right about now.
Sherlin?
Oh, there's a showman's? Great. Good, 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 good.
Showman's happened?
All right, next question from J.D. Dashinsky. In this season's final tribal council, Carson went Survivor sicko and told each of the three finalists they're voting with the majority percentage. Like, he was breaking down the numbers there, yeah. Carson was. For our NBA fans, I would like to call this true voting percentage, or TVP.
Love it.
Do you think this will become an even more relevant stat going forward? Yeah, Carson breaking down the percentage of times you were on the right side of the vote.
Right.
So and illustrating how much you knew every vote, where it was going.
And Jam Jam had the highest at 90-ish, right?
It was very high, and then it was 90? Carolyn, and then Heidi was the lowest, right. Yeah.
Well, I think there's something there.
I mean, yeah, it's obviously sure. Shows you have a feel for the game of been what's going on. I don't know if we needed Carson breaking down.
Yeah,
the
did he do the math? Did people do the math? Because I thought he said like Jam Jam was 90% on votes and Carolyn was like 88-point-something%.
Yeah,
and she was out on one vote.
Yeah,
so that doesn't make sense to me mathematics wise. So maybe he was just freestyling and everybody's like, "Whoa, he's talking numbers. Those must be right."
Ooh, the NASA guy's talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Carolyn was pumped.
They're like,
"You
work for NASA?" He's like, "No, I'm just a student." Like,
I just like the font.
I love the font. I hope this doesn't become even more relevant.
TVP?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think it will.
Yeah,
don't worry.
I hope so.
Mike Grimm, personally, this season ranks in the bottom 10 in Survivor seasons for me. Yes, a few really funny, colorful characters, but overall, ho-hum tribals, idols given out like candy, so-so strategy, the damning of chocolate cake, and Jeff doubling down on the nonsensical full tilt boogie. Do you agree? Mike Grimm living up to his name here. Not a fan of this one.
Fair. That's,
you know. We're not gonna try and wrap our heads around putting it, you know, within 44 seasons. Unless you want to think it's top 10, bottom 10, somewhere in the middle. What does JD say?
I mean, I think it's... I loved it. I loved this season. And the point that there weren't huge moves and there were too many idols and too many fake idols, all of that is well taken. Those are valid, valid points. But at the end of it, I was very satisfied with the way it ended. Now, my guy won. Like, it's always more satisfying when the guy that you're rooting for wins the game.
Yep.
But I also, I thought it was a blast. It was very, very entertaining to watch. Like, at the end of the day, it's like a bunch of people, a bunch of strangers trying to win $1 million on a beach. And that's what I got. And there was no shillelagh of time. I think they've really streamlined this new era. They've gotten rid of the stuff that didn't work, like shillelagh. The Monty Hall thing that they used to do, and I, you know, we have lots of criticisms and things from the old ways we'd like to bring back, but I thought the cast was great. Maybe they were too nice. We've all often said that we would like to have a villain bring back a villain.
We might have one in Survivor 45.
Looks like it, which is exciting. But I really did. I enjoyed this. And, you know, we have a ranking question later. Spoiler alert, I think this was the best one since the new era.
Okay. But, yeah, that's our next question.
I just thought it was fun. And that's the Mike White in me saying, did I have fun? Yeah, I did have fun.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think it was Dalton Ross did tweet, it felt like we had super memorable characters, but not many memorable moments in this season. I think there's some truth to that. If you look at memorable moments as wild blindsides, huge decisions of where to go, oh my God, didn't see that coming, backstab, you know, there was not a lot of that. Tika 3 played an incredible game.
Yeah.
The way they got positioned and the way they went back and forth and dwindled everybody down and weren't seen as a threat. And then two of the three are in the final tribal council.
Yeah.
Three of the final four Final four? Yeah, I have that right. Yeah, Lauren went out at five. Carson made it to four. Fire making. But I think they're, it did lack big, big moves.
Absolutely.
But it had incredible characters. So that was good.
Yeah, so I don't think it would be bottom 10 for me, but it wouldn't be top 10 either. So somewhere in the middle. And yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, like, think about how many times on our picks that you got the pick right for who was going to go out, because it did become a little bit predictable. Like when it got down to, I think there was four Ratu, four Sokka, and maybe three, or maybe it was 3-3-3, whatever. We're like, well, now it's time for the Tika 3 to take control and go to the end of the game here. And that's exactly what they did. They just had to stick together. It doesn't usually happen in the new era of Survivor that people actually stick together. Usually there's some sort of gimmick thrown in that changes a vote, or maybe they just want to make a big move for the resume. Here, the big move for the resume was, let's stick together and we'll be unbeatable. And all of the gimmicks completely fizzled out. Like, there was so much in the first half of this season that didn't pay off at all. There was three extra fake idols. None of them got played.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they put a lot of the stuff out there. They just didn't use it.
Yeah. But they were all part of the game. They influenced the game by being out there. Even the fake ones.
We disagree. Yes. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah. We don't have to go over it again. Yeah. And we're not going to. And then Zach had this question. Now that we're four seasons into the new era, rank the seasons, rank the winners, and what was your favorite moment? In Zach's opinion, seasons go 42, 41, 43, and 44. The winners go Jam Jam, Marianne, Erica, and Gabler. And the best moment was Jonathan single-handedly winning a challenge that was stopped. It was a pretty funny moment. But Zach disagrees with you here, JD.
Yeah.
He has 44 as the worst of the new era. You have it as the best.
I have that as the best.
Okay. Well,
again, you know, maybe it's because I was Tika's in my blood. I really wanted Tika to stick together, and they did, right? So, and that was part of why I enjoyed it so much, because a lot of times, you know, my favorite player is out like before the merge or whatever, you know, and then you're like, got to jump on somebody else. But this time I felt like I had skin in the game with those three players, and I wanted them to go all the way, and they did, and it was very satisfying. So I think that's part of why I have it ranked so high. I mean, there's two Canadian winners, and that, and neither of those are my number one. I'll say this: I liked them all, you know. But the first one of the new, I don't know how do you do this, Trey? You rank yours. Let me hear what yours is going to be, and I'll just say that one.
I'm between 44 and 41 for being my favorite of the new era. I think having a good winner, it's really important to me as well. And Jam Jam winning is awesome, but I would have been happy with Carolyn or Carson. I think if any of the Tika 3 win last night, they are the best winner of the new era quite easily.
I agree.
41, though, I think had awesome gameplay basically up until the end of the game. Ricard and Shan, like, going back and forth.
Yeah, that was fun.
Those two were awesome. We had hilarious characters in that one. JD, for funny moments, like JD and Beef Walton, those guys were hilarious together, like walking around with an advantage hanging out of their pants, or Beef Walton setting up a dummy so he could go look for an idol that's just sitting on a log.
Right.
They just gave it to him, basically. So to me, 44 and 41 are ahead of 42 and 43, and I think those two are about the same.
Does anyone have a moment from these last couple of seasons that's their favorite?
I mean,
that's Jonathan is pretty cool.
Jonathan,
that was cool.
I mean, Owen and
Last Gasp,
Carla,
was
Last Gasp,
yep,
outlasting that, breaking that was pretty damn cool.
Yep.
That was a wild moment.
All right, I got 43 over 42 then.
Okay. Owen, speaking of him, he tweeted out something that I wanted to get your take on. I think he's maybe looking for a little shakeup here moving forward. So he says a couple ideas. Individual juror questions for Final Tribal Council. Sounds like Owen wants to go back to that.
Okay.
Are you still liking this open concept, you can chime in if you want type of vibe that we championed when it first came around?
Yeah.
But, you know, have you changed your mind about
it? Not really, to be honest. I've always found the jury part to be the most cringe part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard to watch sometimes. I don't like people groveling. And I don't like people getting attacked for just playing the game, you know, which sometimes happens. I mean, you know, there are some classic moments where the old way they did it, where, you know, some castaways were a little liquored up. Yeah. A little, you know, confronting. Why'd you vote me off, you son of a bitch? That kind of thing. yeah, I thought I like this sort of open forum. Let's talk about this kumbaya. But I hear what he's saying.
Okay.
When it's individual people, it becomes very personal. And I guess that's good TV, but it also makes it a little cringe. And it also drags. It drags a long time, I find.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm open to it.
How do you feel about, I've seen other people wondering, should we go away from Ponderosa, where you get voted out and then everybody like gets to hang out for a little bit, talk about the game, and that we might get a groupthink resulting from this?
Yeah.
We now, four in a row, seasons in a row, have had a 7-1 vote, which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
And that the idea is maybe like, should they be sequestered after they're voted out of the game? Sort of keep them apart. Obviously, they go still to the jury, to the tribal councils, and you hear what happens and you're picking up what's going on in the game, right. But you don't let them sort of be like, yeah, well, who do you think? Oh, I think. Or maybe you don't. I doubt, does anyone care about that? Think they'll ever do it?
I don't think they'll ever do it. I think it would be brutal to get voted out of Survivor and you got to go live by yourself now for 2 weeks.
I think it would be great.
He would love it.
I love it. I've just been playing the most intense game of my life. I haven't washed or slept.
You would just be in the bath for like 2 weeks.
Like a bath for like at least the first 3 days I'd be in the bath and then the rest of the time I'd be in my own private pool. Eating shitty pizza and drinking beer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this final tribal council to me was like a 7. Like, it was fine. And this one actually kind of was. I felt like very much one person asks a question and we answer the question, then we take turns answering that person's question the way they were setting it up.
Yeah.
It didn't feel super like an open forum, except for, I mean, I guess Carson was kind of chiming in on stuff. But
yeah.
It felt kind of old school to me. Maybe we just need to go to a final two.
Well, that's what Owen also...
Like something else that's a change-up.
That's what he says, Owen, within that same tweet. An occasional pre-planned final two.
Yeah.
Where it's locked in, you're going to final two, and then he doubled down. Maybe final two flexibility, if the season allows it, like with 44's couple of medevacs.
Right.
It's a good point. Like, you could change it sort of on the fly if people are, you know, removed from the game because of health issues. He also wants new puzzles. I agree with this. I think, you know, on one hand, it's cool to reward people that have a 3D printer and practice them. I get that. But
yeah.
Even just as a viewer, we're starting to see these same things over and over and over again. Hey, you just want a little refreshing challenge or puzzle.
Is there a way that we could get rid of puzzles altogether?
Well, he also wants more physical tribal challenges. That's what Owen said, too. Okay. So, yeah, we got a lot of ending with the puzzle.
But the puzzle is sort of the equalizer,
of course,
right?
It's
for, you know, for women, frankly, and, you know, guys like Jam Jam to catch up and have a chance.
If they're running through an
win.
Obstacle course,
yes,
and stuff
which
like
is
that.
Usually the case. And then there's the endurance stuff. But is there a way to have a mental challenge that isn't a puzzle? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
some math.
To...
Hands on a heart idol. Yeah, bring it back. That's a complete mental challenge that anybody could win. You just got to hold on to this thing.
Right.
You just got to hold on to it for as long as you want.
Yeah.
Until you forget. Yeah. I think that was a great one.
I agree. Absolutely. Like, those ones where they start negotiating with each other. And then, 100%. And then we talked about it before, but Jeff bringing out, like, a buffet of whatever, you know? Or,
yeah. I think there should be at least one endurance challenge a season.
Right.
Like what you guys are saying, like these hold on to a pole,
yeah,
or just keep your hand on something, or something along those lines.
Right.
I understand you don't want every single one to be that because like these people are badasses. They'll go for 15 hours at a time. But give us that one. Like these are iconic moments,
right,
when you're like, hold on, they've been hanging onto this pole in the water for 12 hours.
Yeah.
And you're right. Conversation is happening.
Yeah.
The game is being played.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
It's
like,
so
I won't.
Give us some of that.
I'm dropping out. I'll drop out if you don't vote for me. You know, that kind of thing. And then it's great.
What level of the game were they at? Wasn't that like Bob and Ian were hanging on?
Yeah, that
those
one.
Poles and negotiating.
It was late.
At the end? Was that like final three or final four?
It was very late, I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Probably around there.
Stuff can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other part of Owen's tweet was, "What about a traditional final four vote? So go away from fire making. There's a lot of people that don't love fire making."
Marianne doesn't like it.
I heard that on,
yeah,
on the Know-It-Alls. Yeah,
and I think she has a point. But on the other hand, How about this? If you win immunity, you have to pick somebody to go in. You have to pick the people to do fire. You cannot pick yourself. It is not allowed.
Okay, you're saying you're not allowed to...
Not allowed to put yourself in fire.
Oh, interesting.
Because now everybody just does it. You know what I mean? I think there's an undue pressure to go and make fire.
That might change now. She didn't win.
Fair.
There definitely was. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, it was...
All four people might throw the final immunity challenge. They don't want...
But even in this season, Carolyn and Jamjam were like, I want to make fire. Like, Carolyn was saying, I don't want this to be easy. I don't want to have to, you know...
Yeah.
I want to earn my way into the final three.
Yeah.
And Jamjam was like, fuck it, I'll make fire. I don't care. You know, like... which was great.
But you could also argue that's a slick move, like... that's like, if I'm shitty at making fire, maybe the play for me to be is like, you better not put me in fire.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kick ass.
Yeah, fair
and
enough.
And then they're like, oh, well, I'm not going to beat him.
Fair enough. But that's the interesting part about fire is that I have immunity and I want two people to battle it out. And I got to pick, you know, the person that I want to definitely not be beside me and a champion who is also my opponent to get rid of that person. Mm-hmm. That dynamic is the most interesting part about fire, but it seems like it doesn't happen anymore because everybody just puts themselves in fire.
Yeah, because they feel the pressure, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you're appeared weak if you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, I just won Sim Ocean, like, which is hard. That's a hard challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, I've just earned my way into the final three. You shouldn't have to make fire. But I'm in favor.
I mean, the reason we have this fire-making thing, and I mean, Propes is on record as saying so, it's like to give these big players a chance to just even go to the final.
Right.
Because obviously what was happening was the biggest target was like, if they didn't win that final four, they're like, well, they're done.
Right.
They're out. Because why wouldn't the other three people like,
exactly.
get rid of their ass? Yeah. They're going to beat us.
Yeah.
But I like that, to be honest. Sure, it sometimes sucks where you're like, oh, the best player is getting voted out.
Right.
Well, then adapt to the game and try and hide yourself that you're the best player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's them still deciding who's going. Right. I'd like to, I don't mind, switch it up. Sometimes have the fire main, sometimes don't. Sometimes have a final two, sometimes have a final three.
Yeah.
Keep them on their toes is the best way forward. And
I
not,
agree.
And I mean, you might want, some people say, well, you got to tell them the rules before they start playing the game. So maybe you say that right at the start of the season. Do you?
What happened to expect the unexpected or whatever?
It's Big Brother.
Oh, shit. Where good things happen?
That's the sanctuary.
Damn it.
Anything else, guys? We got to take one more break, and we'll take a look at our results in the No Buffs Fantasy Survivor Pool. So let's just do that. We'll take one more break, and we'll be right back. All right, the stats are in when it comes to the No Buffs Fantasy Survivor Pool. There were 16,146 advantages played in our No Buffs Pool. 290 steals, 94 immunity idols, 29 super immunity idols. The winner, though, Hope G.
Yeah.
Got 8 weekly votes correct out of 12. 8 for 12. Do the math on that, Carson. She played a strong mix of advantages, including 5 extra votes, 8 double pick points, and 6 double vote points. That's how you play Survivor Fantasy Pool. Hope G wins the $100 Breaking Tea gift card.
Nice.
Second and third place, Aiden H. and Gary M.
They're getting Mellis.
They're getting a $50 Breaking Tea gift card. And fourth through seventh are getting a $25 Breaking Tea gift card. Chloe S., Sarah T., Praveer R., and Karen D. So congrats to everybody on finishing in the top 7. I'll be reaching out in the next couple of days or in the next couple of weeks to get you all set with your Breaking Tea gift cards. How'd you guys finish?
Well, I was deep in the 1400s last week.
Yeah.
1319. So, you know what?
You went up a little bit.
I went up a little bit. I picked correctly, I think, and I doubled my points on all of them. So, I'm very, very pleased with that result, okay. If I'm being honest.
Okay. Trey, where'd you finish?
447.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Top third?
Top third. Made my way up the charts as I figured out actually how to do advantages.
You gotta play advantages.
My biggest mistake of the entire season was when I subbed in Matthew like as one of my, like, I had to sub somebody in, and I knew he was getting voted out that week, but I wanted to get the points because I knew he was also going to cry.
Okay, maybe maybe not long-term plan.
I was very short-sighted,
Well, I am happy to say this was my best performance ever.
Congrats.
I finished 161st overall.
Not bad.
I went on a tear at the end of this game. I was calling correctly who was going home for, like, the last 3 or 4 weeks. Even this last one where we had to pick a winner and then the two people voted out, I nailed that. I went Jam Jam winner, and then I went Lauren and Carson out. So, okay, you got those points as well. And, you know, the whole thing is picking your team at the beginning of the season, too. I had Heidi on my team, Carolyn on my team, so two of them there. I had Lauren as well, so those were big points. And I did add Carson at one point, like, earlier in the year after somebody went home quick. So not bad. 161st, man. Like, I'll take that.
It's great.
Feels pretty good.
It's great.
Make Your Picks will be running pools for Survivor Season 45. You know we'll be playing that. And they're launching pools this summer for The Bachelorette, which is June 26th, and Big Brother, which starts on August 2nd. Big Brother 25.
We jumping into that? Or
No. I just, like, I gave up on Big Brother. And The Bachelorette, no.
25 year, though.
25. Like, it's a big year. Maybe we should.
I got to watch the first 24 seasons.
Got to catch up.
So, again, thanks so much to Make Your Picks. We had a blast with this. Hopefully you guys did as well. I'll reach out to the winners, like I said, soon. And go give that a 5-star rating in the Apple Store or the Google Store, wherever you download the Make Your Picks app. I think it's great. I think, like, I thought it got a lot better.
Same.
They did some, like, slick... improvements to it.
And
Chris is always looking to make it better too, so if you have suggestions, reach out.
Shout out to Chris. It definitely enhances the viewing experience.
It's fun. It is fun, and I'm with you, Trey. The first year I was like, I don't really get these advantages. This year I started to figure it out. And, like, you have them, you gotta play them, you gotta double down on who you think's going home.
That's next year for me.
I'm just gonna get really aggressive.
Slow playing it.
Alright, Survivor 45 preview. Did you have any thoughts? Oh, you're like, meh. Yeah, it wasn't there. I mean, besides somebody saying I'm a big fan of villains, which I was like,
He didn't say, I'm a villain.
No, he said, I'm a big fan of villains.
Hey, I'm not a bully. I'm just a gentle dude coming in here that likes. I occasionally like to take advantage of a situation. That's the new villain on Survivor. But fine. I'll take it.
But otherwise, you were like, meh, it just washed over you. Because it's just, here's a bunch of new characters that we'll obviously soon learn about, and we're still in Fiji, and I guess people are most excited about...
Bruce is back!
Well, Bruce is back. We're Team Bruce.
I thought his name was Michael for some reason. No. I was about to say, Michael's back! Who?
Bruce!
We loved that guy, too. This is the thing with Survivors. They walk out of your lives, and then it's just like...
And a lot of people are pumped that apparently you can see a gavel. And that auction could be
okay,
back.
That's cool.
And that's sort of all I got.
I was worried because I think they reused a shot in a promo. Like, the smashing of the... There was, like, a hammer, you know? Yeah. It was a cool shot of a dude...
Oh, a guy with the long hair. That looked amazing.
It was all muddy and stuff and smash. But then I feel like I saw that again in the promo, and I was like, uh-oh. I mean, they probably only started... Well, it must be in the can, right? They must have this. So, it's all done.
Bruce never left the island.
Did he? Like,
no, I don't know.
They fly him back?
I would think so.
Yeah, because it was...
He goes out early.
I got bad news, man.
Okay, well, hold on. Because this... What we just watched was shot last summer, right?
Sure. Yep. Yeah, sounds right.
So the promo that we watched... That game is probably happening right now, or just ended.
No, I thought they went, but I thought they recorded those back to back. No.
Yeah, but they did 43 and 44 back to back. No,
I'm not sure.
So they're doing 45 and 46.
I think Bruce went home.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think he did.
Filmed April 16th to May 11th is what they say.
44
of this season. No, 45.
Oh, 45. Oh.
So of this year.
Yeah.
So it just ended.
Just ended.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he went.
44 was June of last year, 2022.
He definitely went home.
He went home.
Unless he just lived in Fiji.
Got stitched up in the face. Imagine he gets voted out first, man. What's the conversation going to be? Yeah, I was on the last season of Survivor. They're like, you were?
He shouldn't tell them.
I lasted 8 minutes. I was gone before the first episode was over. Oh, you were first voted out? No. The second obstacle I smashed my face into, knocked myself unconscious.
Oh, that's right. It was the first thing. It was literally the first thing he did. Yeah.
Is that a strike against him? I don't know. They could be like, yeah, you had a chance.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. It's not like he has experience. It's not like...
True.
Because what usually the second time players, they're way more cutthroat.
Yeah.
They'll just cut your throat right away. But I don't think he got into it that much, so...
True.
I mean, if he's smart, he won't say anything.
Well...
Unless Jeff blows his spot up, like...
Hey!
Hey, welcome back!
Welcome, Bruce!
Forehead looking good!
My guy's back! I still blows my mind that Francesca was voted out first in her two seasons.
Oh,
that's
right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, that is... Oh. Redemption Island and Karamoan.
Anyways, the promo itself, I was just like... I guess we're doing this again. I was like,
of course we are.
New people, I have to learn their names and blah blah blah. It's like I said at the beginning of the show. It's like after a marathon, it's like, oh, here's the next marathon you're gonna do. You're like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. It's also just because of this new era, which there's no theme to any of these.
Yeah.
It's just finding great players and let them play. And like they obviously have the twists of Birdcage Idols and Shillelagh of Time and that stuff. But I need 46 to be a theme. I decided that.
Okay.
In seeing the Survivor 45 preview, I'm like, okay, here we go. That's fine. I'm sure some of these are going to be memorable, iconic characters.
Right.
I need, you know, in the fall, after episode 13, I need us being here going, whoa, Survivor returning players, or new era versus old era, or
so you want to see
new
people come back.
I just need a theme. I want a theme back in
all
my
I
life.
Need is a theme.
And if it's returning players, even better. Trey had a great point when we were talking before we jumped on here. Like, let's do 9 of the best players from the new era. Let's bring back 9, you know, old school players. And there's your theme right there.
Right.
Let's do that.
But what are we playing though? 26, or are we playing new era?
We're
old
playing
era?
26. I think. Yeah.
So we're back. That's it.
So it's an advantage for the new era players.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 26 gameplay, day play. But all the challenges are from the old era.
Okay.
So endurance challenges and stuff like that.
That's great. I mean, you can just see the scenes of like the old schools talking the very first episode. Oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. 26 days.
Yeah.
I could do this in my sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, could you, Yule?
Okay, so I just want that for 46, but anyway.
I'm with you. I've said that many times on this
show. That's a cool one.
Like, I want a subtitle. I don't care if you abandon it within three days,
in.
Right? Yeah. But I just like the, you know, realies versus fakies, you know, or something. I don't know. Like,
Survivor 46, the sanctuary, where good things happen.
Right.
They start in the sanctuary.
Oh, nice.
That's interesting.
Not for all people. People do gotta get voted out.
Maybe that's where we're going.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Survivor 45 preview that we saw last night?
I'm in. I'm the opposite of JD. He's saying I might retire after this one. I'm getting back in the gym shooting jumpers where everybody can see.
Yeah,
I'm talking to the girls. We're like, what's the one we're going to watch this summer? Because we gotta do a summer session.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
nice.
Thinking heroes versus villains before heading into 45.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hey, by the way, this guy basically did some cosplay as Jeff Probst.
Yeah, what was that?
And what, set up your own Game of Survivor with your two girls yesterday?
That's exactly right. I told you on yesterday's No Dunks that things were working out perfectly. The girls' last day of school was yesterday. No school today, so I was like, whatever, you can stay up late. Didn't know that we were going to go till 10:30. Jeff. Nonetheless, they got home from their after-school stuff. I was dressed in a blue button-down shirt with two big pockets, had on my mesh hat. I wish I would have had JD's actual Jeff Probst hat. They enter through the garage. Come on in! Grab your buffs! We got a game set out for you. They had to run to our... You know, we got some like playground stuff in the backyard. One kid had to go up a dome and get a bucket. Another kid had to go across the slack line and get a bucket.
Oh, nice.
I'm just nagging him the whole time. Isla, taking her time on the slack line. You gotta dig deep. Then they had to run their buckets over to a water station. They had to fill one bucket, move it to the other bucket on the other side of the yard until a ball rose up. I'm like down on the ground. Checking the horizon.
That's great.
You're good.
Oh, nice.
Ran up. They had to go solve a puzzle. Had to spell the word ice cream because the reward
Ice cream.
Waffles, popcorn, and ice cream with all the fixings.
Did you tell them that? Did you tell them that?
Yes, absolutely, JD.
This is amazing.
Did you ask them if it was... bar with Jeff Probst yesterday.
Worth playing for?
Yeah, of course it has to be worth playing for. They're like, yeah, what are we doing? This is the weirdest thing you've ever done.
So this is them coming in cold.
No idea what's happening. I think Laura told him in the car, like, Dad... When you get home, Dad's going to be in character as a famous person.
When you get home, Dad's going to want to see your feet.
We did have the Survivor theme music playing there. Wow. You can find on Apple Music.
Oh, great.
Yeah, great stuff.
Jeez.
That was really fun. We hit
Hidden Immunity. Did anybody get voted out?
No, we let them both find Hidden Immunity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I see.
That would have been
It would have ruined the night. Yeah, yeah.
That's it. You know what? Like, you could, this summer, you could be like a birthday party guy. You know what I mean? Like, Survivor birthday party with, you know, Trey Probst over here. And he comes to your house.
I can't believe it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Where I could go with 17 of my friends for a birthday party or a celebration and do like a mini game of Survivor where we have the challenges and we vote each other out and it's like a truncated game. Like,
That's part of this new chain that they're opening.
The Sanctuary.
The Sanctuary. Good things happen.
Last person left has to pay the bill at the Sanctuary.
Ooh.
That's the move.
It's great.
You don't want to win.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, it's true. You're the sole survivor, but here's your $800 bill. I thought the only thing you were missing from that awesome sounding day with the kids is you should have made it an endurance challenge. And it's like they're still out there. Like, it's just like who can stay up on the roof the longest.
Oh.
And your kids are just living up there.
I tried to convince them. I was like, yeah, the tough part is after we're done with all the challenges, you got to go behind the shed and build a shelter. No, Dad, no, I won't sleep inside. Okay, fine, you can sleep inside.
That is incredible. Well, that's a great way to wrap up No Buffs and our coverage of Survivor 44. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, subscribe to No Buffs. We'll hopefully be back for Survivor 45. I don't know if JD will be. But we will be. You'll be here.
I'll be here. Ah, of course. Of course.
You just take a week off. You do a lot of podcasts. So
yeah.
It is nice to have a little break from the extra show that
we have. Looking forward to that. Yeah.
But guys, thanks so much. Again, like this stream. Subscribe to No Buffs on YouTube. If you're a podcast listener, we love you. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. And you never know during the off season if we can get a Survivor contestant on and talk to them. I always say that. Then we got a lot of things going on in the summer, but
sometimes it happens.
You just want to stay subscribed is all I'm saying.
If you want to hang out with us and you're not an NBA fan, it's a great time to get in to the NBA.
100%.
Like, the finals are about to start.
Yeah, go check out No Dunks.
Yeah, great
podcast. It's basically this, but just replace... All the Survivor talk with NBA talk.
Yeah.
Instead of saying Kane, we say Cody Zeller.
That's right.
Kane is the Cody Zeller of this season of Survivor, I think.
Hey, and if you like trivial shit to argue about, Is This Good with Matty O.
Oh, yeah. Go check out Is This Good. You're going to really like that with Matty O and JD. Talking about a bunch of nonsense. Survivor Is This Good. What does Matt think of Survivor?
We should. You're coming on the show this week, so, so we should ask him.
All right, that'll be a topic. So, guys, thanks so much for joining us all season long, especially all you loyal diehards there in the live tribe joining us on YouTube. We really appreciate it. Thanks for all the questions, too. This is a blast. And congrats again to Jam Jam. Very happy with our winner, Jam Jam, taking home the sole Survivor title of Survivor 44. Until next time, until the fall. With 90-minute episodes, JD.
Oh!
The tribe has spoken. Take care, everybody.